You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Just got done with a really good podcast, MMA 57 TJ Dillashaw. I'm really glad that Joe got TJ on this quickly after his unfortunate defeat, just because it was such a talking point in the MMA world. Those of you that don't know, he recently had a fight where he went down a weight class to win a second belt in another weight class to be the quote-unquote double champ, or the champ, and he lost to like an early stoppage in the first round that was pretty controversial. Check out the fight, you can see it. I don't know, there's clips of it, highlights, places, YouTube, whatever. Look at it and get some information. But he talks about it on this podcast, and the conversation with Joe was really good. It gives a really good insight to TJ and his mindset and kind of where his head's at now. So, yeah, let's start the review. Welcome to the Joe Rogan Experience Review, where each week I review every single episode of the Joe Rogan Experience. What more do you want? TJ is a hyper-competitive guy, for sure, when it comes to MMA guys. He just has always had that kind of fire in his eyes ever since. I think I first saw him on The Ultimate Fighter. He was just the type of guy that just never wanted to lose, you could tell. Not that anyone wants to lose, you know. These fighters are professional athletes and gung-ho. They're putting everything on the line, but there's just certain ones of them that's it. They're going to beat themselves up if they lose. They're going to take it so hard. They're going to push themselves and train and adjust and improve. And he's certainly improved phenomenally. TJ is just come a hell of a long way. His fight against Cody was... And to be able to take the belt from him and beat him twice and then go on to... set up this fight at a different weight class. And in a lot of this conversation with Joe, he's talking about how he got to that weight, how he was able to carefully cut weight, the type of training that he was doing, how dedicated he was to it. And he was like ripped at that weight. I mean, of course he was going to be. He looked super tiny. But and his face was like gaunt. I mean, it was tough. But he looked like he had energy, you know? He didn't look really worn out. He didn't have much of a chance to show what he was capable of in the fight. So basically he was taking some hits. He went down early in the first round. He was a bit rocked because it was a shot behind the ear, but nothing crazy. I didn't think it was all that crazy. I mean, it was starting fast. It was a fight starting fast. He dropped to his knees. He kind of got one leg, and then before you know it, the ref was just pulling him off and saying he was done, and that was the end of the fight. And for it being the first fight on ESPN for UFC, and such a big fight in that it was two champions and the potential for one champion to win two belts, it was the kind of thing you just wouldn't expect to be ended that quickly. But again, you're going to have to check it out, watch the fight, and then you get to listen to TJ talk to Joe about it. TJ's obviously upset, really upset. And I do think it's somewhat justified. It's not just being a sore loser, though that it does suck, I'm sure. But there's a humility in that, you know, and you can show great strength by saying, I accept the decision and blah, blah, blah. But for him now, I think that he doesn't accept it. He wants another go. Pretty much everyone is calling it out that this fight was stopped too soon. Joe said the same thing. I think Dana said it as well. So it was a great shame. It really was that it had to go down that way. And hopefully there'd be another chance to to show what he's made of and come back and do it again. I think it's going to be a great fight if it gets a chance to get going. Who knows? Maybe it'll end the same way right away. I mean, that's entirely possible too. So we just have to see. But like I said, TJ was taking it hard. He worked incredibly hard for the cut and in training. And again, they were talking about the champ. And that is an expression that really only became common since Conor. Like, Conor has really changed the game in the UFC. And I think that was a great contribution. You know, now you have multiple people that are champs. Cormier is a champ. And, you know, you're going to see more of it in the future. You, like, kind of set the way for it, if you will. And yeah, I don't think anybody said that before him that I can remember. I'm not sure. Anyway, TJ talks about some of his training methods. He used to do a lot of altitude training. And a lot of UFC fighters do that, athletes, all the rest of it. But I think what's happening now and what these researchers and athletes and different scientists, nutritionists, personal trainers are saying is that you can't actually do as much work at altitude. So therefore, you can't work your body out as well because you're more tired. And also, your body can't recover as well. So there's some major limitations to that. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of what that means really for an athlete. TJ explains it a lot better than I'm bumbling to do. But obviously, you know, he's a professional athlete. He knows these things. But I like that it's changing. I like that these things are constantly evolving. Like, that was the big way of thinking, the big way of training. Everyone goes to altitude for their camps, etc. And then, you know, now things are changing because that necessarily isn't the best way. He does say he uses some sort of mask that restricts his breathing, and that is supposed to help him breathe better. Not while he's got it on, obviously. It's very difficult to breathe, but it's supposed to mimic when he's running out of oxygen and having to work harder just in his lung capacity or the rest of it. He did say he was using some kind of device that, and he passed out doing it. So with caution, use those, obviously. Read the instructions. I can't imagine ever training hard enough to where I would want to wear some sort of device that gets in the way of my breathing like that. But hey, if you want to be a world champ, you got to do some extreme things. That is for sure. And also, Joe was saying to be the best fighter, to be the greatest UFC guy, you almost have to be a little bit crazy. And crazy in, not unstable, but crazy in the sense of like crazy to win, you know, crazy fearful of losing. You've got to have just the most unbelievable drive. And I would imagine, like, being really good at anything, massive support and huge sacrifice across the board. Like, you can't do normal things for the most part. Like, training never stops. You've always got your eye on it. That's why I'm not surprised to hear so many UFC guys, MMA guys now, you know, I mean, they're really eating and training and living like professional athletes from all different kinds of sports. You know, it's not uncommon to hear that somebody doesn't drink. You know, somebody doesn't, you know, that they only eat the very best food all the time. They only go to the very best gyms and the most advanced setups. It makes sense because if you aren't willing to make that sacrifice, someone else will. And that might be the edge that they need to kind of kick you out and get in there. And the reason, I mean, it sounds obvious, right? It sounds obvious that they would be like this. But I think what I like about hearing TJ on this podcast is that you're really hearing the evolution of these fighters. Because if you remember back to the original Ultimate Fighter seasons, like 1, 2, and 3, people were getting hammered in that house. Like, most of the guys going into fight had drinking problems. Chris Lieben was a perfect example. I think he was like absolutely smashed on his season. That was season 1, I believe. Multiple other seasons have been like that. Fights in the house, just people being a mess, not necessarily eating right, not cutting weight right. I mean, the sport has just evolved to a whole nother level. Nowadays, you know, not only, I don't think they let them have alcohol in the house anymore, but they're behaving themselves. They're living a lot differently. And they're emulating guys like TJ, who are champs, living this way, training this precisely. Because in order to be a champ, to be, you got to emulate those guys. You got to do what they're doing. TJ uses a garage of his trainer, who's also a calculus teacher and a very smart dude, but helps TJ out and other guys. So they just squish everything into this garage that they use, which is unusual. You know, you'd think that they would go to a much larger gym and set up, but it's about the community you're with and people that know what they're doing and helping train. And this, the guy that trains TJ is like a numbers guy, obviously. He's a calculus teacher, but he's all about taking tests, you know, heart rate, blood levels, all this, and scheduling the training and the eating all based on that. So it's a very kind of scientific setup. I think Joe wants to have this guy on. I don't know if he'd go on Joe's podcast, but it would be really cool to hear just his setup and his how he does everything. Just because it's fascinating. I mean, not like I'm ever going to train like that, but who knows? Sometimes you pick up little hints of knowledge and you're like, oh, cool, I could try that. Or maybe I'll get a, you know, an exercise bike, or maybe that's a really good way for keeping your endurance up or whatever. And towards the end of the podcast, some takeaways that I had that I liked from it. And I think I might start doing a bit of a takeaway segment at the end, just like an overall recap of really the best things that I got from the podcast, is just how he, TJ, recovers what he's using. So he hasn't used cryo, but he did go with Joe after the podcast. If you follow him on Instagram, you would have saw that. He loved cryo. Doesn't really mess with the ice baths. Thinks they're too cold. But cryo, I think, is going to be on his list. He does some red light therapy, which is supposed to remove toxins and also create a bit of a infrared sauna kind of setup. Float tanks are something he uses. Float tanks is something I use. Obviously, Joe loves them. He's the reason pretty much everyone does them. But float tanks are something to really help him, TJ, slow his mind down and keep himself calm. I think that they're brilliant. And I think it's great that he's using it. Also, a lot of massage therapy. Going in for tons of massage. Keep those muscles working. Massage, when you go to a good person that really knows the body, is an excellent thing for recovery, for sure. And also doing some yoga. Yoga is so good for any sports and athletics and keeping your body in shape and just for yourself and for stress. I mean, if you don't even have time to work out, probably yoga is the best thing to do. It's pretty chill. It's super painful as well, but it's also chilled and relaxing. Well, that's this episode of the JRE Review. It's a really good conversation. If you're an MMA fan, of course, and you know the controversy, but it's also a good conversation if you're looking to just really improve your physical health and you're looking to really grow and better yourself as a person, and if you're on that journey, because someone like TJ works so hard and really pushes the limits to be the very best that he can, it kind of, You get a sense of that energy on there. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening. As always, there's going to be a couple more podcasts this week. And that's it. Thanks a lot. Peace.